This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Not much of an F-off Friday here, Spencer, because we've had a lot of actual news to talk about. And basically, you know, Myles Garrett stole the NFL headlines once again today. He's known to do.
I was going to say, it's been the theme of the offseason, right? Every time the Browns say something, he responds like 1 week later.
So. Well, I think this is in direct response to Trey Hendrickson yesterday. He gets granted his trade release, or at least the permission to go out and seek out a trade. I think Max Crosby getting paid may be a part of it as well. Like, we've had... Independent of Myles Garrett, we've had defensive end conversations really for the past 24, 48 hours.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's that, which you alluded to. I also think it's, like I said earlier, free agencies next week. Clearly, his representatives are like want to force the issue of like, listen, we want teams to know that Myles Garrett can be part of their plans. Come make a deal. Come make this happen. So, like, I'm assuming he wants to like be somewhere before... You know, the summertime, like we've talked about, like maybe not trade him until June or whatever. So they're trying to sort of force the issue one last time before free agency opens. But it doesn't sound like anything's going to happen from the Browns standpoint right now. I just, we've talked about it already, but like I wonder where the sticking point is. Like are the Browns just trying to get through the draft and then see if they can sell Miles on what they've built? Like is this just going to go on for like another month and a half and then that's it? Or are they going to let it play out till the season?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I was of the belief for the longest time that this thing would drag out and it would take forever. And so it'd be odd if all of a sudden I'm like, maybe something gets done. But I also didn't take Miles seriously when Miles was talking about going to
doing whatever
extent.
He has to do to get to make. He said like his exact quote was like, "I'll do whatever it takes" or something.
I never thought he would miss games. I never considered that for him. I always thought you're a football player. You go play football. You're in your prime. You're coming off another defensive player of the year worthy season. And I'm telling you, the big aha moment I had today is just I didn't take Myles Garrett. And I credit Aditi. She put it out there. But I didn't take Myles Garrett for who Myles Garrett actually is. You know, could he take a whole year off basically to just go to Japan, write anime, pursue his other hobbies and his other interests instead of playing football for a 5-win team? And the Miles I know would consider that. Like, I think Miles, I believe Miles, when he stresses the part of football that he loves is the winning side of things. And if he's not playing to win, then what the hell is he doing? I believe him when he says that now.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree too that like he there's more to him than just football. But I also, I don't know, man. Like I'm like you. I just didn't think he would ever get to a point where he was like, I'm just not going to play. Because as much as he can do other things, as much as Aditi can allude to him going to Europe and you know drawing anime or whatever he wants to do with his free time. Now that he'd have a lot of free time if he was just sitting out games. I still know his legacy matters to him. Like, and that's the biggest reason I pushed back on him actually taking it to this extent. Because, yeah, like he stands there and talks about how those individual accolades are great, but they don't mean anything if they don't come with Super Bowls and whatever. And he's always been like a team-first guy in press conferences. But we know that winning the Defensive Player of the Year mattered to him. We know that he talks about, I mean, he talked about legacy all season when they were a one-win team, a two-win team, and you get asked after games, like, how do you keep guys motivated? His reasoning was always, you have to care about your legacy and who you are as a person. Like, you're going out there and putting stuff on tape every day. So I know he cares about this, and that's why I didn't think he would get here. And I guess we technically still can't say it's going to get there until we actually see him do it. Like, there is part of me that has my doubts, the same way the Browns maybe have doubts, which is maybe why they're digging in on their stance, that Miles will actually sit out games. It's an easy thing to say on March 7th. It's a different thing to actually not show up September 10th. But I do believe, I believed everything he said to this point about like how serious he is about this. And the two signs for me the last couple weeks have been Browns come to the table ready to make him the highest paid defensive player. And his camp is entirely just like, we don't even want to talk about a contract with you. And now this week saying like, yeah, we're prepared to take it to this level if we need to.
What's more likely to you, that we have something like the Khalil Mack trade from a few years ago where it was on September 1st he got dealt, or something where next week I get an alert to my phone while I'm on the air discussing it with Nick?
Probably the September 1st option. Because, again, for whatever reason, as I've said, the Browns seem convinced that they can I mean, Kevin Stefanski talked about it so flippantly last week, like, just basically, like, if you told him to draw up a depth chart of what the team was going to look like next year, yeah, he'd be like, Myles Garrett starting defensive end. Like, he's talking about it like he's going to be here on the field for week one and beyond. And I just can't get why they, like, I can't wrap my head around it.
They look at it like it's such not an option for them, which is so, right. It's just interesting to me. It's like, it'd be like if you're like, hey, Jonathan, go down the stairs and just, you know, get the winning lottery ticket for tomorrow. I'd look at you like you have a banana taped to your forehead. But that's how they treat this as well, as if they have no power over it.
Yeah, I can
as
go,
if they
I have can go no get say. The winning lottery ticket, sure.
Yeah, they look at it like, like, what do you even suggest? How can you suggest such a thing?
Yeah.
It makes no sense, which is funny when you juxtapose it with the idea that we had people come on this show before the season ended and was like, whether Myles Garrett wants it or not, they should be having conversations about trading Myles Garrett.
You know what Nick would say if he was here, right? He would say this is the latest stunt by Barry and Stefanski, the Ivy Leaguers that run the Browns, just talking down to the Cleveland media and the Cleveland fans that they know all and you know nothing.
Wait,
about
is that,
the situation.
Is that your, now, is that your Nick impression?
Kinda, yeah.
You did a Stephen A. impression.
He's
which
got a
I
little
think,
more like bluster to him. He's a bigger dude.
I think the group agreed your Stephen A. impression kind of flopped. I think we can hope he saved you.
Can I say, I wasn't actually going for like an impression in that moment. I was just kind of like being loud and boisterous the way Stephen A. would, but I digress on that.
And then, Ivy Leaguers.
Oh no!
This should be Nick now.
He's trying to step on the grenade for you because is that your Nick impression, Hody?
Hody's found a good lane.
That's
though.
My Nick.
Hody's found a good lane because now, like, wherever I go in radio, if I were to ever leave this market, I want to be clear, I don't actually want to leave this market. But if I were to ever like get a job for like, hey, Andy Roth calls me up, he's like, come to Atlanta, come hang out with me again. I have to bring Hody with me now because he'll just take anytime I have a bad take. He'll just come in with something worse. He'll take the bullet for me constantly. Like, this is a good grip for you, Hody. You now have somebody that you've attached yourself to.
The Ivy Leaguers. I would love to attach myself to the Ivy Leaguers.
Okay, turn the mic off and stop talking. 216-474-0092. Joe in Mayfield Heights. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you feeling today?
Pretty good. So, listen, I mean, let's step back for a second. I think Myles Garrett's the only sane one over there. Okay, these guys, he doesn't, he wants
take a breath,
to talk
Joe.
To the owner.
take a breath, Joe, it's okay.
He wants to talk to the owner in a misguided way, of course, because he doesn't want, why are these guys making these decisions? Why are they even still here? This is the worst front office with coaching staff. And this Paul D. Podesta, they had the most talent anybody's ever had since they've been back. And it's been up and down, and they botched it. They were supposed to create culture. And culture does not happen when you're going up and down. It's been absolutely horrific. They made the worst deal in the history of pro sports. And now what Myles Garrett wants is he doesn't want these guys here. Because they're just going to screw it up.
All right, but Joe, you asked why are they still here? I think I have a theory on that, and I appreciate the call, Joe. My theory on that, and this gets to is Haslam trying to wipe his hands clean of this, and you can get involved, 216-474-0092. My theory on this right now, as it remains on March 7th, The reason why Andrew Berry is still employed is becoming clearer and clearer by the day. Andrew Berry is the fall guy in this scenario. He has been tasked with cleaning up this mess, and he's the one, and this was never more evident by what you heard today and saw today, the fact that Jimmy Haslam directed Myles Garrett and said, I'm not even taking your phone call. The guy that makes the decisions is Andrew Berry, means that it's going to fall on Andrew Berry's shoulders when he does, in fact, trade Myles Garrett. This is going to be on him. And if he doesn't trade Myles Garrett, then he'll be the one that is looked at as stubborn for not trading him and not getting the pieces and the assets to rebuild the team. It now goes towards all the blame with Andrew Berry instead of us putting it at the feet of the owner, which most of us like to do anytime anything happens
See,
with this team.
If he's going to be the fall guy, why couldn't he just be the fall guy this offseason? Like, why couldn't he have just fired him back in January?
Well, because if you fire him, then you got to hire somebody new, and then you're tasked the new guy with being the bad guy when he just got there.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Like, would Jimmy Haslam, Jimmy Haslam wants to throw away an offseason trusting Andrew Berry to finally get draft picks right just so that he can, like, prove a point next year and be like, see, this is all Andrew Berry's fault. Let's fire him now. Like, that seems stupid.
Let's put it
this
way.
But I guess
this
organization has done some silly things.
If you hire Thomas Dimitroff, for instance, and then Dimitroff is the one that is instantly tasked with trading one of the best players in franchise history and starting off this rebuild and everything, who do the fans instantly hate? They hate Thomas Dimitroff. That's it. And I don't think, as far as the draft picks are concerned.
Well, but I also think there's something, like, we talked about Myles Garrett being the thing that is basically the roadblock from this team accepting maybe where they are, like the reality of the situation. Like, if you hired a new GM, I think everyone will kind of assume that that was coming. Like, they might hate him for it, but I think they also, like, there's so many Browns fans that call into the station. There's hosts on this station who obviously get the microphone and they talk about it. Like, there's plenty of people who believe, like, this team's closer to having to, like, reset and sort of, like, take a step back than they are to actually competing. And so a new GM's coming in anyway and just embracing the fact that for a year they just got to bite the bullet and eat all these dead cap figures and, like, start fresh in 2026. So I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying, but I do think, like, it'd almost be refreshing to get a different person in here
I called for them to get a different person months ago. And it wasn't the only person that did that, obviously. Nick, who's usually here with me, he called for the same exact thing.
Yeah.
We were both in the fire Andrew Berry train. But I find it interesting.
Ivy Leaguers.
I find it interesting. And maybe he still believes in Andrew Berry, and maybe he still likes Andrew Berry, but he just saw a little bit of an outright here. Like, hey, listen, I've taken all the fall for the Deshaun Watson stuff. I've taken every bit of the brunt of the blame. Every time anyone talks about it nationally, Stefanski and Berry get the old Peterlin pass. No one ever rips on him for it. It all falls at my feet. Listen to Mike Florio talk about this ownership just once on this radio station, and you know who he blames for everything Deshaun Watson. Hell, 99% of the people listening that I'm talking to right now are blaming the ownership for Deshaun Watson and everything attached to this. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence today that Jimmy Haslam, the takeaway I had was Haslam's divorcing himself of this decision when it comes to Myles Garrett. And he's making it very publicly known that it is not his call, even though he's the owner and he meddles constantly. It's not his call. Andrew Berry's the guy you got to give a call to.
But see, I also think that the opposite effect has kind of already played out today, which is people are looking at this being like, you wouldn't even have a conversation with the guy?
Which,
like,
I find that a little funny, though.
That's going to drive him away even further.
But I find that funny. For years, we just yell about him being too involved, close to it.
Fair.
And then he takes a step back. And yes, I think this is a ridiculous step back. I agree with everyone that thinks that. But he takes a step back and says, no, I hired the people to do this. It's their job. And then everyone gets mad at him for not being involved.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, on some level, the Haslams have clearly allowed their people they hired to do their job. And I think he does deserve some respect, at least for that, right? Like, for so long, it was just a clown show in terms of the way they did things. And it was just like there was no process to it. They didn't trust anybody. So there is something to be said for the fact that, like, he clearly trusts this regime. That's why they're still employed. And he's letting them do their jobs. But at the same time, like, a pillar of the franchise just wanting to have a conversation about his future, that shouldn't be, like, all that hard of a thing for me.
Here's how the headlines go.
Like, if it was a quarterback, wouldn't he have granted him the meeting?
I get it. But here's – hold on. We had reports with Baker Mayfield, by the way, that the idea of why they dissolved – hold on. I shouldn't say reports. I don't think this ever got reported. But it's been enough time, I can just speak about it anyway.
It's like rumors, yeah.
The reason, not rumors, I remember exactly who told it to me. It's very reliable. It happened.
Yeah.
At the end of the Baker Mayfield time, the reason why it fell apart between Haslam and Baker was because Haslam would call him and Baker wouldn't answer the phone. Stefanski the same way. Baker stopped answering the phones. But like Haslam at that point was very involved. He was very involved into what was going on with his team. But think about it from a different direction. If the report today is instead about him not taking a 10-minute Zoom call, and the report today is Myles Garrett speaks to Jimmy Haslam, Jimmy Haslam maintains Browns will not trade Myles Garrett, how does that change your perception about who's actually calling the shots when it comes to the decision with Myles Garrett?
I don't think it changes at all. I think it just...
I think for a lot of fans, it changes the perception. We would then think Andrew Berry doesn't have the final say on it, and we would think like large majority of the time that he's owned the team, it is Haslam then making the call and making the shots. And then when you actually do trade Myles Garrett, he's the one that's going to take the blame.
Yeah, I just also believe, though, that like he knows no matter what happens, he's going to get the blame. Like they've called everything that they've done. And that's the other thing. That's the other part of this. They come out and they speak to everybody publicly. And they use these phrases like, we're thought partners on everything.
Yeah, like they're Bert and Ernie.
You mean to tell me... That was a Stephen A. quote right there. You mean to tell me that like Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and Jimmy Haslam all sat down, maybe Paul DePodesta too, and they were all thought partners on the Deshaun Watson thing, but then the second that a face of the franchise is like, yeah, I want to trade, now all of a sudden it's only on Andrew Berry? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
You can tell me you don't believe it.
This organization that comes out and says like they're in lockstep on everything. You ask Kevin Stefanski, hey, were you forced to change offensive coordinators? And he's like, no, we all talked about this together. And again, I understand they might be just completely BSing us. That happens all the time. But like, how all of a sudden is it like they put on this facade that they're always in lockstep on these things? They always have these conversations. Everyone's doors open. We're all here to talk. We'll work through these things all together. And then the second that Myles Garrett, the face of the franchise, is like, hey, I want to have a meeting with Jimmy Haslam. He's just like, nah, never mind. I'm not doing this.
Hey, if you want to tell me that he'd rather shoot him in the back than shoot him in the face and look him dead on, then I understand that logic. I do. The idea, I'm not even going to take your phone call, but I still am the one that is calling the shots behind the scenes. I can get behind that idea. But what he's put out there publicly right now is the exact opposite. It doesn't mean we have to believe it, but what's out there right now is that he wouldn't take a 10-minute Zoom call. 216-474-0092. What are your thoughts on this? We also have an update within one of the quarterbacks the Browns have been. Well, I don't know that I've been interested in, but it seems like a lot of Browns fans have been interested in. We'll explain what that is as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. I also think there's a part of this that Jimmy Haslam didn't want the headline to turn into, instead of won't take 10-minute Zoom call with Myles Garrett, he didn't want it to be Haslam says won't trade Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's people tell Cleveland.com and Mary Kay Cabot that, and then all of a sudden, Jimmy Haslam seems like he's meddling again. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Haslam seems like he won't let Andrew Berry and company do their job, which, as you can tell, in recent years has been a fractured point between the three of them. And I threw DePodesta in there as well.
I just think if the end goal here for the Browns, or if they
view... Do you like how I gave the fake news to the news that hasn't actually happened? I gave it a tribute. Listen. Mary Kay did not report that, guys. That was me attributing news that has not happened to Cleveland.com. Sorry, go ahead.
No, the clarification is important because somebody just...
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Turn on the radio. They're now like scrambling to go to Twitter and see if Manke tweeted.
Next time I'll just attribute you.
Yeah, that's fine. Then maybe I'll get a follower or two out of it. I just think if the end goal for the Browns is they want Myles Garrett back in the building playing next year at a high level and all those different things. Like if they view that as what they're trying to accomplish here,
mm-hmm.
I just don't know like what good this getting out does. Like them not like there's nothing. I mean, I guess you could make it worse if you have a face-to-face meeting with him, but like you give the star player, the team, like the courtesy of like, hey, let's just sit down and have a conversation and see what you like, see where you're at and talk about. Like, it just feels like it's counterintuitive to what you're trying to accomplish. If the end goal is to not, like, if they keep trying to tread water with the idea that we think we can get him back on board, we don't want to ruffle, like, they clearly don't want to ruffle feathers more if that's what they're trying to accomplish. Not like Jimmy Haslam not sitting down with him isn't going to help that cause. And I would imagine that if you asked Andrew Berry, should, you know, if he wants a meeting with Jimmy Haslam, should he get one? He'd probably say, like, yeah, you know, it's worth having a conversation. Because, again, to my point from last segment, apparently they all talk about these things and they all talk together anyway.
I don't know. If I was Andrew Berry, I'd look at it like it's somebody trying to go over my head. If I was Andrew Berry, I'd be like, I said publicly I'm not trading you. I've told you in
private.
But
they don't care about that, apparently.
I told you in private I'm not trading you. You're running into a brick wall. And I think that's what Miles knows. Miles knows he's run into a brick wall when it comes to having a convo with Andrew Berry about this, because Andrew Berry's got to keep his job. This is him going above and trying to get the right answer, the answer that Myles Garrett wants. There's a part of me that respects that this is what Jimmy Haslam did. If he believes in Andrew Berry as much as he did, yes, I do think it's part of him divorcing himself from the responsibility of it all, but it is a clear-cut signal to Andrew Berry that you get to do your job and I'm not going to meddle in it.
But I also think, like, again, if the goal is to keep Myles Garrett, and I'm assuming that Jimmy Haslam doesn't want to, like, you know, I'm assuming Jimmy Haslam at least believes that, like, that they don't want to trade Myles Garrett. And I understand what you're saying about Berry being the fall guy at the end of all this, but, like, I don't think he would, like, sabotage it so poorly that he'd be like, you know what, I'm just going to clean my hands of it and make it all on Andrew Berry what that decision is. Like, if they're at least all agree, we want Myles Garrett to stay here and that stance isn't changing, like, how does he not realize that it would do more good in trying to accomplish that by simply having a meeting with him than it would to blow him off and be like, yeah, we're not going to do this. Like, maybe that just makes it worse.
But maybe he doesn't even want to give Miles the courtesy. Maybe he's like, you know our stance. We've spoken publicly about what we believe. Why do I even owe you the courtesy when every time I turn around, you're talking to another media outlet about how much you hate us, about how you don't think we're run properly, and how you don't think we have any direction in the future? Like, there's a part of Jimmy Haslam, I believe, I'm putting myself in his shoes for a second. If I'm in Jimmy Haslam's shoes, I feel very disrespected about how Myles Garrett has gone about this whole entire process, where all he's done is call this whole organization incompetent with no future ahead of itself. And even if that's the right read by Myles Garrett, and I think it is the right read by Myles Garrett, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you're making friends when I'm the owner. Like, maybe I owed you something when you were the best player on my team and I thought you were winning something for me. But the moment you start disrespecting the future of the team, everyone involved with the team, because it is disrespectful by Miles, the way he talks about this team moving forward. And if I'm Andrew Berry, I take disrespect in that. If I'm Jimmy Haslam, I take disrespect in that. So maybe it's just...
But all this just makes me feel like then, like, the goals aren't the same. Like, Andrew Berry keeps saying that the goal is that Miles is going to be here next year and he's going to play, and, you know, that they love Miles and all these different things.
Yeah.
But if, like, what you're describing just sounds like, okay, he's done enough to upset the ownership and the team, that they're now just like, we don't really care what happens to Myles Garrett. We're just gonna dig in and like make him more mad. Like, but again, if the because I'm operating on the premise that the goal is that they want him to be back happy and they, you know, they're clearly willing to pay him. That's the other thing.
Which seems really hard right now, though.
Even after he said all those things, they're still willing to make him the highest paid defensive player in the game. Like,
well, maybe Jimmy's worried he's going to say something really mean and nasty to Miles right now that he can't come back from. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe it's like the email you don't send, but you type it out and you just delete it.
Maybe he knows. Maybe he knows. Right now, both sides are very heated. Both sides have a strong opportunity of saying something they don't really mean.
And we don't have that side of the story either. Like, I do want to give the Browns the benefit of the doubt here of, like, Miles and Miles Camp are telling this story this way where they're like, we got denied a meeting. For all we know, maybe Jimmy Haslam's like, well, I'm out of town for a couple weeks, but when I'm back in town... Yeah, like, let's talk about trying to sit down, and they're just using it as like, oh, he was denied a meeting with the owner. He's too busy for him right now. Like, so again, I don't know that that's the case. This isn't, again, me reporting anything. I'm just saying, like, there could be another side of the story that we haven't heard. But again, it doesn't feel like, for an organization that talks about being in lockstep and everybody's on the same page, the motives or the outcome of Haslam simply just not granting Myles Garrett a meeting doesn't seem to add up to what the team is telling you they actually want to accomplish.
It's turned into a cluster bleep, which is exactly what I think Myles Garrett wanted it to turn into. In the stages of everything, this is what he was asking for. He was asking for people like me that have a platform and talk about the Browns daily and other national people as well and people like yourself as well that have an outlet that you use daily. He wanted all of us to come around to the idea that he was never going to play for the Browns. He's very angry at the Browns. He never wants to do this again, and he wants out. And you know what? Again, by saying you're missing games, by going at it this way, he's converted me to actually believing he won't do that, which is not something I can say I would have believed 48 hours ago.
Well, what's also kind of interesting from the Miles side, the other thing that's interesting from the Miles side of this, is that not so long ago, I remember when Jimmy Haslam gave like his vote of confidence for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry like during the season. Mm-hmm. I think it was like Diana Rossini had like the somebody had like a report that like, yeah, he's continuing to tell everybody he can, or maybe it was Aditi, like, he's telling everybody he's going to bring these guys back. And then Miles was asked about that the next week. And he literally had an answer. I actually should look this up. He had an answer where he was like, yeah, you know, as long as those guys are part of this organization, like, I feel good about the direction of the team. And then, like, a month later, he's like, yeah, never mind. I want out.
Yeah, yeah. Kind no, he flip-flopped. Yeah, it was not great. 216-474 to below 92. Dave in a car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, you still there?
We're here,
what's up, Dave?
What's up, man?
I'm going to take you off the car.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you.
Because I'm actually already home. I was on so long, but that's okay.
Sorry about that, Dave.
No, you're good. I you guys are, you know, I'm agreeing, but yet disagreeing with a few things. I think Haslam's doing the right thing, but probably not the right way. I didn't even know it was he denied a Zoom call. He should have probably took that and then, you know, said, hey, let's, you got to talk to Barry about this. Because Haslam knows he's got to show he's not the meddler like, other owners, you know. I mean, he's got the label of being a meddler, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I think he's trying to step away. And, you know, he had everything to do with Deshaun getting here, really, I feel. The whole thing. And one other thing I wanted to mention, though, too. Yeah. Didn't Miles kind of, he was down. Wasn't he part of the reason that Mayfield's gone?
Yeah, there was a lot. And I appreciate the call, Dave. There was a lot in the locker room that happened there between the two of them. And we just leave that there. But, yeah, he clearly was a part of it. I'm not going to say he's the entirety of it, though.
Patch, small percentages.
It weighed into the equation. Patrick and Hudson, you're up next. Quickly, Patrick, what's on your mind?
Fellas, thanks for taking me. No, honestly, JP, you said something earlier. I agree with you. I honestly think Haslam is kind of doing what I would hope he would do. We've only said all along, Haslam, stop butting in to football operations that don't concern you. And I think it's a horrible look on Myles Garrett that nobody's talking about. Your superior, the guy that you talked to, already told you no. Dude, we're not trading you. All right? So, like, you need to get over it. So he just goes above him and then talks to that. I think, again, Miles has played this thing terribly from the start, and he's going to get nowhere fast with it.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. See, appreciate you, man.
But part of me, though, JP, like, you know, that's the old saying, a tiger doesn't change its stripes, right? Like, if I was your co-host here at Afternoon Drive, and I told you every day.
You have been this week.
That is true. Three of the 5 days. But if I told you every day, like, be there at 1:30, like to help with show prep, and then I don't get here till 1:58, and I do that like every day, and then there's one day where I show up at like 1:30, and I actually make it on the time I say I'm gonna make it. Does that all of a sudden like change? Like, do you just drop your perspective of me? Like, you'd still be like, he did it one time, but he's still the guy that shows up 2 minutes before the show actually starts. Like, just because he does this one time doesn't mean that he's not going to be labeled a meddler.
I would tell everyone around the station how badly you suck. Is how that would go.
I would tell everyone around. Still going to say about Jimmy Haslam.
I would talk about you all day ever. I can't believe it. He doesn't show up till 1:58. I don't know how this happens. Although I was 20 minutes late to a meeting that we planned today. I was talking to Keith, though. We were doing important meeting things. I'm the greatest. I call a meeting, and then I'm 20 minutes late to my own meeting, and neither you or Jake said anything at all about it. You guys just were like, okay, it's fine.
Just roll with the punches.
Didn't even text me to be like, hey, you coming over or anything? You're like, he'll get here.
You figured you'd get here eventually.
I know he'll get here. He's doing something. He'll get here. And we got there. Coach Riz, he's going to get there with us with the latest on Myles Garrett. And also, we're going to throw another quarterback conversation into the mix with a new Albert Breer report as well. Big 6 o'clock hour. It's Spencer German, Jonathan Peterlin, Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.